Welcome to the Better Business Podcast from Datagraphic. Your host, Glyn King, CEO of Datagraphic, joins responsible business manager Pete Wells to talk about practical steps SMEs and organisations within the voluntary sector can take to begin their sustainability journey. Glyn, it's over to you.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I'm Glyn King, the Chief Executive of Datagraphic, and I'm joined today by Pete Wells, who's our Responsible Business Manager. We are a UK SME, and we've been on our sustainable journey for quite some time now, a decade or so. And I remember sitting in a meeting when someone suggested we plant some trees in a wood somewhere, and that was going to be sustainability. And I said, no, this isn't going to work. Because if you are serious about sustainability and you want to be a serious business and be taken seriously, we need to grasp this and we need to get on with it. And you, Peter, over that period, have taken that cudgel up, and we are in the position that we are now, and we're very proud of where we are now. And we're going to make a recording today and hopefully help you understand our journey and how we can help you with this journey. There will be some references in this podcast to the Sunderland region, because we are working specifically with Sunderland on some projects. But the practical advice that we're going to go through is applicable to wherever you are. And I think it's really important that we share our experience and you can learn from our experience. And we're very happy to share, because this is a serious subject. And the more people that embrace it and the more people that get on board with it, the better for the world. And it will be better for your companies. So, Pete, to get started, why do you think it's so important, particularly for small businesses, which we're one of? Let's not forget, we are a small business. So what we can relate to those small businesses. Why do you think that's particularly important?
Well, it's particularly important because small businesses make up 99% of UK businesses and contribute to over half of all emissions. So with that, they play a massive role in achieving the UK's net zero targets. In fact, without them, the UK stands little or no chance of achieving them.
Yeah, and I think it's really important that we're going to talk about targets and measures later on in the piece. But if you don't start, you're never going to get to that position. So we prioritise sustainability. And I know this is going to sound like we're talking, you know, but why did we take this, and what are the main reasons that people should consider taking action?
I think sustainability is increasingly important for businesses because of its long-term impact. So being sustainable can actually reduce operational costs and save the business money. And that doesn't have to be an expensive solution. So it reassures clients that we comply with the government's green agenda, which can be key to some contracts. And it makes sense to be sustainable. It means our natural resources can go further.
Yeah.
You can protect brand reputation as a responsible business to work with. And then from a future-proofing perspective, you become attractive to the next generation.
Yeah, I think that's something that we've noticed, that obviously as we're recruiting people, we are increasingly getting asked. I'm not saying people join us because of that reason, but people are starting to ask, what is our position on sustainability and the like? And I know the B Corp part of it, as we've started to put that on our job ads, and people are getting quite interested in that. But I mean, there's some small things you can do, aren't there? Like, you know, replacing lights with more efficient LEDs. I know it sounds a small thing. I'm sure people are doing it at home, but if you do it at work, it's a big thing.
It's on a bigger scale, yeah. So just to give an idea of some of our wins, we reduced our gas consumption by over 60%. So, and that's just by, you know, tighter temperature control. So you reduce 60% from your gas bill.
Yeah.
And the savings are easy to work out immediately with, you know, through doing nothing other than reducing the temperature down or turning it off when you're not there.
Yeah.
It's a massive saving. We replace lights with energy efficient LEDs, yeah. Even turning lights off in areas that you're not, you know, people are not working.
Yeah.
It makes a big difference. You know, further to that, solar panels means, you know, we put them on our building, which means we can run into the entire operations on sunlight.
Yeah.
And then we've replaced old technology in the production centre with new technology. So we've increased output while reducing consumption and wastage. Yeah.
And also one of the great things about yes, we've done the solars on the roof and it's fantastic. And if the sun shines, it makes me a happy man because it's good for our it's saving us money. It's helping everyone with the sustainability piece, but it is saving us money. It's a great thing.
Yeah.
And you mentioned about the technology that we've put in the factory. And this is one thing I would say to SMEs and other businesses alike, that engaging with your suppliers and making sure that some of your suppliers are also of the same mindset with sustainability can make a massive difference to your net zero position. Because if you've got a supplier who is on board with you, and we've noticed this with some of the relationships we've got with our supplier for Canada in particular, who are really on board with this, and they've helped us immensely to bring our net zero position even closer than we're currently committed to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And of course, that's great, but there are a lot of misconceptions about sustainability. And the people think it's, you know, it's not possible for a small business to achieve, or it's difficult. What, you know, it's not that hard, and actually you can get some money back on it. The ROI is pretty impressive, isn't it?
It is, yeah, it is. You're correct. People do assume it's too expensive, when in reality small changes can cut costs quickly.
Yeah.
Return on investment can be 1 to 3 years, certainly for efficiency upgrades. It's the price of electricity these days is a fortune, yeah. and only going one way. So when you factor that in and replace something with something more efficient, it soon adds up. It soon adds up.
It's interesting though, because listen, I'm a business owner, and I'm looking at the cost of things, and that ROI is impressive because we should all be looking at that. But it's a very, you've got to get the owners of the business on board as well, yeah. And you've got to get them on board very early,
yeah.
Because that makes a big difference to the buy-in from the whole of the organisation. So I know less than a quarter. I've been briefed on this, less than a quarter of SMEs actually recognise the financial benefits of doing this. And I'll be honest, I was probably one of those guys 10 years ago. I wanted to do it, and we were committed to do it. But once you and others educated me on it, it became evangelical about what we should do, because it was good for the world, good for the planet, and good for us as a business.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think it's business owners often perceive it to be far too expensive, you know, tens, hundreds of thousands of pounds to input things. It's not the case. There are expensive solutions to things, but there's also grant funding available. So up to £50,000 towards a project can make a hell of a difference and reduce the return on investment down even further. So it's not as expensive as people may think.
So the first step's always the hardest. So what should they do first? Because you've got to get an organisation on that first step. What would you say the first step is?
The first thing is you've got to start. You've got to measure your own emissions, and then work out from there as a business, you know, what are the easy wins?
Yeah.
Like we've done, start reducing the temperature, change lights, turn things off that don't need to be on. You'd be amazed at how much electricity or energy that the machines use when they're not being used. So just quick wins like that straight away, but you can't work out any wins until you measure where you are and get a starting point.
But once you've got that measure, you've also got to get your organisation to come with you on that. Not me, the organisation, but members of the team have got to come with you. Now, depending on the profile of your organisation, that can be easier or hard, because if you've got a younger profile of, so how would you suggest you can engage with, and it's not only the stakeholders as shareholders, stakeholders are all the employees.
Yeah.
All employees are stakeholders in this business. So how do you get them on board?
I think you're right. I think most people are on board. So what's important is to be open and share with them why you're doing it, share why it's important, and involve them from the start, encourage them to look for more ways to make an impact.
Yeah.
And document any progress so that people can see the journey that you're on and the difference that it's making.
So if you're documenting progress and listen, we all have targets. We have targets in different areas of our business. But if what makes a smart sustainability target? What actually makes a good target, and how do you monitor that?
So once you understand your carbon footprint, you can then set the targets for how to reduce it. Now, these are going to be different for every business. So set something that feels realistic and achievable for you. That's not necessarily being net zero in 5 years' time. Don't worry about that. Look at your own carbon footprint and work out how you can reduce that.
I actually agree with that, because we, and as I said at the beginning of this, everyone, we've been on this journey for 10 years. And I went to a meeting 3 or 4 years ago with one of our clients, and they were serious about this. But in their sector, they were seeing people using sustainability as a weapon, and they were overcommitting to their net zero position. Anybody who's in this thing seriously, and I go back to the beginning, if you're going to do this seriously and want to be taken seriously, you have to take it seriously. You cannot overachieve this net zero. It's not possible, because you've got suppliers involved, you've got clients involved, and some people, as I say, were weaponizing it by making it a target, and we're going to beat our competition. You just have to be realistic about it.
Yeah.
And therefore, if you're talking to someone who's also realistic about it, they will accept your realistic target. I think that's the case, Pete, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. They've got to be realistic. Yeah. And you can't overcommit, because it's your own journey. So, and like you say, there's other people involved in your journey as well, your suppliers, your customers.
Yeah.
You've all got to do it together. When we first started out, we wanted to win.
Yeah, of course we did.
We wanted to win and wanted to be the first in our sector to be net zero. But actually, that involves all our suppliers and customers and everybody else. So we've got to work together, which is what we do.
I think we have worked very well with customers and suppliers, and it's been really good. And I also think it's good to get some legitimate measure of that. And I know we've gone forward with science-based targets, haven't we? And it's been really important to us, so that we've got an external measure of what our goals are. Yeah. And we may be achieving our goals, but what's really good is to have an external measure of those, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it depends, again, how far you want to take it. So it could be as simple as monitoring your consumption from your energy bills and working out your reductions year on year from those.
Yeah.
But yes, you can take it further and set science-based targets, which again is the top of the tree.
Yeah. But hey, and if you're going to set a target, why not go for the top of the tree?
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to do the low-hanging fruit, but there's no point in that. You may as well set your goals high, but realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in terms of tools and frameworks for people to measure carbon footprints, what just remind me, what have we done, and where are we with that, and therefore remind all our listeners?
Yeah, like I've just said, the science-based targets is the most respected. That's open. People can see your targets. It's science-based.
Yeah.
So there is no better. So that's top of the tree. Other things you can look at is ISO 50001, which provides a structured framework for integrated energy management into your business. So that's a way to look at your energy usage and commit to reducing it to ISO standards.
Now I know we're all here to provide ourselves a living and our employees a living, and financial constraints can affect this, but I know, you know, 70% of the SMEs out there are saying they need external funding to help cut emissions, but there are funding options available, and it isn't generally as expensive as people think it is, but funding is available, isn't it? And I know we've taken advantage of that as well.
Yeah, it is. Funding, it is available. That can range from funding towards energy audits or carbon saving projects. So these projects could be obvious.
Yeah.
Obvious things like solar PV, battery storage, insulation, alternative heat sources, anything obvious that can save carbon.
Battery storage is my dream, mate. It's my dream because we've got all those solar panels on the top. You know, we need batteries to become a little bit cheaper because we're producing energy and I want to put it into a battery. So that's my dream. So you know it is, so you should have prodded me on that.
Well, you want to keep it rather than selling it back for a lower price. But additionally, it doesn't have to be obvious things. Something investing in something that's more efficient can also work.
Yeah.
And all these just reduce your overheads year on year on year. Once they're in, they're there. In terms of the grants, I think we talked about this earlier, but they can pay up to 50%. They can pay 50% funding and up to £50,000.
Yeah,
which is a huge amount. It's a huge amount and helps any business.
Yeah.
One thing to note on that is it has to be capital expenditure. So that's something you can get tricked if it's a lease that you're wanting to take out.
Yeah, and with the grants, they are very good and they are readily available. And the people who are doing them are generally very efficient. Yeah, but as you've just mentioned, get the rules of engagement very early. And understand those rules of engagement and be open and honest about what you're trying to achieve and how you're going to do it. And the grant moves much quicker, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. I think the teams, like you say, they are good. They're there to help.
Yeah.
I mean, we can go through some of the grants that are available in the Sunderland area. I mean,
let's name
a few. We've got the Industrial Energy Transformation Fund, the Northeast Business Support Fund, the Sunderland Business Support Fund. But in reality, the best way to find out is to get in touch with the Sunderland City Council's low carbon team.
Right, okay.
We'll add their details at the end of this podcast, but they're there to help and they're very good.
Yeah. So the three that you've just mentioned there, and again, I said at the beginning, this is a podcast that's going to reference the Sunderland area, but of course, every area will have those grants available as well, won't they? Clearly, they won't be called the North East Business Support Fund, but they'll be called the East Midlands Business Support Fund, which is something that we've taken advantage of, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, all areas have got the same, essentially.
Yeah. So you say Sunderland, you mentioned it earlier, Sunderland have got the Green Business Toolkit. How can listeners of this in Sunderland take advantage of that?
So Sunderland is committed. They've got very ambitious net zero targets as a council and as a city, which is great to see. And the Sunderland Green Network provides access to information on how to reduce emissions and become more sustainable. The toolkit's free. It includes a checklist with 8 steps to become a greener business. And more support will become available in relation to funding opportunities. So digital resources, training sessions. It's a great toolkit for anybody who's starting out on this journey.
Yeah. And they've worked hard on that, haven't they, Sunderland, to get that ready. And I think the SMEs in the area who are listening to this podcast ought to get on that pronto because I think it's a really good thing that they've done.
Absolutely. And a really enthusiastic team as well. It's great to work with someone who's so like-minded.
Yeah. So if they've found these grants, and they've found this toolkit. Have you got any tips on how they can be successful? We've given them some tips earlier, but not loads of tips because too many is no good.
Yeah.
Some quick ones.
Yeah, absolutely. So the team at Sunderland that's responsible for climate change are really helpful. So use them, talk to them about your projects, and they will help you and support you along the way. The tip from our perspective is the more carbon that you save, the higher the success rate. And I think that's it, really. I think just look at things that are available and explore.
Yeah.
It's not that difficult.
Yeah. So have we got anything that anybody listening today, apart from what we said, that might be specific? And I know what you're going to say. You're going to say measure. Measure to start with, because that's what you said to me.
I think just start.
Yeah,
the journey's not as hard as you may think it is, so just start. And then we said it before, implement quick wins. You can do this straight away.
Yeah,
you can turn the temperature down, you can turn the lights off, you can replace lights with LEDs.
Yeah.
They're all small wins that can make a big difference. And then look at further projects, bigger projects, but that require investment.
Yeah.
But until you measure, until you start, you don't know. You don't know what's costing you a lot of money.
Yeah. So measure, start, don't overcommit, but get started.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think on top of that, if you can't do it straight away, that you can choose green energy suppliers. And then additionally to that as well, you can actually offset your own emissions as well. So some people may not be able to reduce all their emissions down. So an offsetting is another option available to people.
Cool. Okay. So thanks if you've been listening to our podcast. We really appreciate it. If you're a SME in the Sunderland region and you're looking to take advantage of some of the things we've talked about, get onto the Sunderland Green Business Toolkit. It is good. Get involved in that. And if we've done anything to help you get on your sustainable journey, and making it a better sustainable future, thanks. Thanks for listening, and thanks, Pete. It's good. I can go and get my cup of coffee now. So have a good day, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.